the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
Morning. Happy Saturday to you. I'm Tiffany Bacon. Welcome to Praise in the City. I thank you so much for joining me on this glorious Saturday morning. Today, we're going to have a very in-depth discussion about what's going on with Philly schools. Now, I have visited this topic several times this year because it's necessary, because there's a lot happening, and parents, teachers, and the community at large are really concerned as to what in the world is happening. So we have some updates, some information, and we're going to have a discussion about how did this all get started and where do we go from here. So stay with us. We definitely would love your opinion on what's happening with Philly schools. What do you think needs to happen? Now, we got the money we needed, but what needs to happen now? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Going to take you back into another moment of inspiration, and then we'll continue our conversation.
I've been captured by a love I can't explain, and now you have me, and I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Now I surrender my life, it's not my own. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong. I give myself to you. Come on, can we say that all over this room? Say, my life
is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Another moment of inspiration. There we go. We are Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Tiffany Bacon. I am your host, and this is an opportunity for you to express your opinions and views on the topics of the day, stuff that affects our neighborhoods, our community, our city, state, and country at large. So we invite you to be a part of today's discussion, looking for your feedback on what's been recently in the news regarding the Philadelphia school systems, the threat that schools would not open on time, and all of the latest brouhaha. Give us a call with your initial thoughts, your immediate thoughts, how you are feeling about this, especially if you are a parent or a student. How are you feeling going into the 2013-2014 school year? Give us a call at 215-263-1039. We have a friend of the show joining us to help us discuss this topic. He is the former director of the Pennsylvania Department of Health's Office of Health Equity under the Rendell administration, Mr. Jamal Boyd. Good morning, Jamal.
Good morning, Tiffany.
How you feeling?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning. This is actually going to be your last appearance on the show, at least live in studio.
Well,
for a while.
Unless, you know, you invite me back and I have to come home and sit here
Amen.
With you. As always, a pleasure.
Amen. So we'll talk about why this is that you're making a big move and doing some great things elsewhere in the country. But our topic at hand is what's happening with the school system. And the latest wrinkle in the covers was basically that we needed $50 million. Was it $50 million?
Yeah, $50 million.
$50 million
to open.
In order for the schools to even open. Now, earlier in the year, the issue was that so many schools were going to close and so many staff were going to lose their jobs. Now we hear what the schools might not open, what is going on? So can you please just kind of unveil how that came about, what that was about, and the latest information on that situation?
There was a significant financial shortfall for the Philadelphia School District for the year because of their budget.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several layoffs and a number of layoffs that had occurred in terms of trying to balance the budget. There were some state funds that were promised to be appropriated that did not come, but at least at minimum for the school district to open on time and to function with reasonable staff to keep our children safe and to ensure that a base level of staffing is there on the 9th of September, they needed at least $50 million by yesterday in order for that to happen. And fortunately, the mayor stepped in and borrowed some money to make sure that that happened. But I think that that issue exacerbates the problem. In addition, Governor Corbett, whom I hope we have a short discussion about, did not get up off of the funds that were promised earlier in the summer to help to bail the school district out of this financial situation. So there's a lot going on politically that has kind of led us to this issue. And, you know, when schools don't generate money, I think that the problem is perpetuated over and over and over again because it's not a revenue-producing entity.
So, like, there aren't other things that are going on. Like, aren't the schools important? Why can't we pull money from someplace else? Like, take that money from the PPA or something.
The prison line item? I mean, you know, I think that's the bigger issue. I think our public schools are being politicized and our children are being used as pawns in those politics and those political discussions. And it's a problem. You know, I think that there's some social responsibility as well, some parental responsibility. But ultimately, where the, you know, public schools are no longer viewed as they once were when we were in school. And the quality of education and the curriculum and all of that is no longer as a priority as it once was, you know, when Constance Clayton was the superintendent. And how
I think everybody of a certain age has a Connie Clayton story where you had to walk through 8 feet of snow to get to school because she wouldn't close the schools for nothing type story.
Yeah, but, you know, she ran the school district a lot differently than, you know, some of the folks that succeeded her. And, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, or whether you like Constance Clayton or not, we received a quality of education. And, you know, there was a priority of the school system on the city, the municipal, and the state level that is not, that's no longer there, and it's
so
unfortunate.
So when did that change, and why did that change? Do you have the answer to that question?
No, you know, I don't have the answer completely, but I, you know, being a product of the public school system and having children in a public school system, I think, you know, part of the issue has been, again, the politics that are being played around public education. Mm. I think that, you know, there's some structural design that is going on where, you know, it's been noted that the state and the government looks at third graders to determine how many prisons they're going to build.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at our community and you have little black and brown children that are impacted by those decisions, and prisons are being built as a result of what they think you'll be when you grow up.
Mm.
Versus let's build schools to educate them to secure our future. I think mm-hmm. that's where some of this is stimulating from. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we have a governor that does not see education as a priority, not only in the Philadelphia public school system, but around the state. You know, it's mm-hmm. not his interest. And if you look at how many prisons are being built and correctional facilities are being built, that's where the funding is going, because mm-hmm. they make money off of prisoners,
mm-hmm.
but they don't make money off of students.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a community, we as parents, we as advocates have a responsibility and a commitment to do something about that. And, you know, one of those things, I believe, is to register to vote.
Mm.
Register to vote, get out and vote, and you need to make Corbett a one-term governor.
Mm. And we're in this really sad situation, and everybody is just like, what is going on? I don't remember things being this bad. So what does that mean for the parents? That I know you're about to pack up and leave our fair city, but you know, as a parent, what does this do to your psyche as far as what am I going to do with my child?
It stresses you out. You know, I think for any parent, you know, they utilize the school system as, you know, a home, as an educational tool, and as, you know, something that takes care of their children while they're at work mm-hmm. to provide for their family. So when you put that pressure on a parent to have to figure out where their child is going to go, and it may impact your ability to go to work mm-hmm. or you having to take off of work when you may not have the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, that stresses out your family and your social structure, and there's no support system around it. You have parents right now making decisions of either pulling their children out of public school, putting them in a charter school, or putting them mm-hmm. in a private school and having to pay for that and trying to figure out how to pay for that in a very short period of time. So I think that, you know, it really stresses mm-hmm. a family significantly. And I think that's another part of the problem. Our school district is not structured to support us in a social way that mm-hmm. we need. They're taking away all of the extracurricular programs, mm-hmm. which are putting our children back on the streets mm-hmm. and subjecting them to violence and violent crimes during those peak periods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that is a part of the social support system that needs to happen in the community. But I think parental involvement is so key and crucial to ensuring that we get the services that we need so that we could be successful. School ends at 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get off work until 5.
Mm-hmm.
You have to now figure out what's going to happen with your child during that little window
mm-hmm.
until you can get home, or either you force your child to be a latchkey kid mm-hmm. and on their own, you know, until
right.
some adult is able to step in.
Right. We'd like to bring you into the conversation. We'd want to know, what are your reactions to what's been going on with the school district, the Philadelphia school district? If you're not a Philadelphia resident and you're just kind of keeping an eye on things via the news, feel free to comment as well, especially if you used to live here and how things are different wherever you may be living right now. So give us a call at 215-263-1039, 215-263-1039. We'd like to know your response to what is happening with the Philadelphia School District. I believe we have a caller on line one. Yvonne, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to make a comment about the school systems in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Yvonne, and although I do not have children in the school of Philadelphia, I do have grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
and I just wanted to, in response to the speaker that was just on the air,
mm-hmm.
I agree 100%. This is all a political game. It's sad because our politicians that we put in office mm-hmm. play these little political games back and forth with the school system. Mm-hmm. I used to be a was president of the PTO for a charter school that my children attended when she lived in New Jersey. And sitting there, meeting after meetings with the school districts and the politicians of the area, City Hall, the mayor, we were able to see the little manipulating games that the politicians play. And they do not put our children's best interest forward. In other words, if this politician didn't help me get to where I am, I'm no longer going to do you a favor. And it was sad to see.
Wow.
It was very sad to see how the people we put in office play these little games. And, you know, when you look at this, you're like, they're not, you know, they make all these promises. I promise when I get to office, I'm going to make a change. And it was very sad to see this. But the bottom line here is the parents. The parents need to come forward and say enough is enough. And it's sad because I do understand parents do work. And like the speaker was saying, you know, growing up was our second home. When we went to school, you know, we respected our teachers. Our teachers had such a different relationship with the parents. You don't see that anymore. And parents need to get involved. Again, even as the president of the PTO, I saw when you would call a meeting, you can count on your hand how many parents came out. And I do understand that people do work, but this is your children. These are your children that you're talking about, your future. And if you, your children don't see that interest coming from the parents, they're like, nobody cares. You know, like no one is caring enough to come forward and fight for me. I, you know, again, I'm a grandparent. And even as a grandparent, my kids are now in, my grandchildren are now in school. And there are times when I take time out of my busy schedule and I say, here I am, I'm present, because I know the little games that our politicians play.
And you bring up, I'm sorry to interrupt, Yvonne, but you bring up some very good points. I'm actually a former high school teacher, and I was always discouraged at the very few numbers of parents that would come to my room during the parent-teacher night conferences. And I would just say, you know, this, I don't get it. I don't get it. It was disheartening.
And I have to agree, because and this is the mentality. It's sad to say that today's parents, they send children to school and say, okay, they're now your responsibility. No, they are not the teacher's responsibility. They're your responsibility.
All right. And Yvonne, you know, we could have a whole 3-hour show on just that segment of the conversation right there. So we might have to revisit that. Thank you so much for your comments, and thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in this morning.
Amen. God bless.
All right. God bless you as well. Let's go to Tashia calling in from Philadelphia. Tashia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm fine. My comment is just that I wanted to agree with Mr. Boy about parents now looking into other alternative ways to for their children to go to school other than a public school. I actually have a high school student who is in a very good high school in Philadelphia, Science Leadership Academy, and they don't go through the same funding issues as a lot of the public schools, because they have parents who do a lot of fundraising and donating. However, I have a newborn, and the situation is different, whereas before, my focus was a 529 for my son's college education. I had to meet with a financial advisor to switch that to, like, a Coverdell and a different savings account so that I could be able to look into paying for private school, because I'm not sure where the future of the public school system is going for my newborn.
And you bring up a good point.
No, I was going to say, I think that that's part of the challenge. You know, the confidence that was once in the public school system, that you can send your child to Masterman or, you know, to one of the local neighborhood schools in the neighborhood that you live in, and not have to worry about exhausting any financial, you know, expense to do that. That confidence is no longer there. And that's a problem when you have a number of schools around the city that are good and, you know, have the potential to be there, but the curriculum has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have teachers versus educators, and I think that that's another big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, you know, trying to use that as a play on words, but there is a difference between an educator and a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Educators invested in our children to mm-hmm. make sure, in us,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we got an education.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just, you know, that education. It was mentorship.
Right.
It was the after school. Let me sit down and talk to you. Or
right.
if I need to straighten you out.
Mm-hmm. Let me straighten you out.
You know, it was a lot of that.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between educating and teaching. And some of the teachers that we have now are only teaching the curriculum.
Yeah.
Because they're being forced to. And that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have many friends who work in the school district and, you know, they can't even address some of the behavioral issues in the
mm-hmm.
class because the principal doesn't want, you know, the student to get suspended because that's going to spike their suspension numbers up.
Mm.
And if they go into a principal's meeting downtown, they don't want to be ridiculed or put down by the powers that be for having high, you know, spiked suspension numbers. So it's that political game that's being played inside the system. And you have to meet AYP and all of these other things that, you know, the numbers game.
And can you say what AYP is for those who are not?
You know, I just slipped my mind.
Okay. Because I know you throw out a lot of acronyms and folks are like, what's that? I'm not sure.
It just slipped my mind.
Okay, no problem.
My coffee.
It's okay. Understood. Tashia, thank you so much for your comment. And you bring up a really great point. And I thank you so much for listening this morning.
You're welcome. You both have a blessed day.
All right, too.
You do the same. Sticking with Tashia's point, we're going to continue actually with that in just a second. And we invite you to call in and give your opinion, your feedback, if you want to release what's on your mind about what's happening in Philadelphia schools. Please feel free to do so at 215-263-1039. What is the future of the public school if so many charter schools are popping up and do not have the same issues that the public schools have? What does the future look like for some of our tried and true favorites? Will they disappear within the next 5 to 10 years? What's gonna happen? We'll talk about that and more when Praise in the City returns after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And welcome back. We're in the second half of today's program talking about what's happening with Philadelphia schools. Yes, I've talked about this several times this year, but it's worth having the discussion because everybody's trying to figure out what is going on, what's going to happen, what is the future of the public school in Philadelphia. What's it going to look like 5, 6, 7 years from now? What's it going to look like 3 years from now? So those are some of the questions that we have, but we are giving you an opportunity to give your thoughts on it, your feedback on what's been going on. Reach out to us at 215-263-1039. Let's go back to the phones. We have Dawn calling in from Upper Darby. Dawn, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning. Good morning to both of you.
All right, good morning.
First,
thank you.
I really want to quickly thank you for this opportunity to give a voice to folks who have just said what is going on and don't know where to go.
Yes.
One of the things I do, I have a couple of points. I will make them honestly very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is, that I had noticed as a product of the public school system is that when we were growing up, the teachers, the police officers, and so forth, they lived within the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that you can't be a teacher effectively and not live within the city, but your taxes, all your revenue went back into the community in which you serve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, teachers and policemen and so forth, they're not required to live in the city. So, therefore, mm-hmm. those tax dollars are not being put into the city in the same amount. There's a lower tax rate when you live outside the city and you pay
mm-hmm.
into the city. And so, again, that reduces the revenue and things like that that can be helped, that can help the balance, the budget within the city. That's one point. And the other piece about it is that if you're a living in the community, you have a vested interest in that community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like our heroes when we were growing up. Cecil B. Moore was a part of North Philly. He didn't get made and didn't move out. He just wanted everything for all his people. And I'm not trying to condemn, but I'm saying that if we're all family, when it's one thing to be a part of the family and another thing that you can just leave at the end of the day and go off. So I do think we need to look at how can we look back at bringing those tax dollars back into the city and giving it back in. I believe that if you work for the city, I mean, really, you can get talent within this city. You can get talent within Philadelphia. That's one point.
All right. Thank you so much.
But then the second point is that the schools are not viewed as a commodity. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the politicians don't view it as a that's why they're looking at trying to a prison kind of produces immediate outcome anyway from a very limited ignorant standpoint. Mm-hmm. The commodity is our children, is the education and the prince of the presidents and the future astronauts that are going to be that will in one day run this country. So they're not viewed as a commodity, but I would challenge Corbett and anybody else to say, take some of those dollars that he's putting in for the building of prisons and try to find a way to make those technical programs within the school. Because you're going to get folks, you know, they make license plates in prison. Mm-hmm. Let's find a way. If you, you know, you guys are the best and brightest, let's find a way to leverage those dollars that can have a positive impact within the community. And my last point is that if they have this thing go down, I myself have a lot of talents that I'm blessed with. I'm willing to go through a background check or whatever it takes. Let's take it back to the streets, to the people. We volunteer within the school system, and we make sure it's solid. Mm-hmm. And, again, some people don't know what to do, but they want to do something. Mm-hmm. So, again, it starts with a thought, and I'm just throwing it out there. So.
All right. Awesome thoughts. Awesome thoughts. Thank you so much, Dawn.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. God bless you.
You do the same. Bye-bye. Jamal, I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to what Dawn said.
Sure. I mean, Dawn raised a lot of interesting points that I actually had discussed with Dr. Height back in November of last year. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversations event, and a lot of Dawn's points we had brought up. And Dr. Height, you know, God bless his soul, he walked into a situation that he had to manage immediately, that most of his predecessors did not have to deal with as a superintendent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he came in and really tried to develop a plan. And I appreciated how he went around to meet with individuals and how he was giving of his time to me and my constituent group to discuss many of those topics. And a lot of, you know, what we addressed, he's fighting through right now, trying to figure out how to get it done. And one of the things was we looked at a community-based approach to deal with the funding issue. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of celebrities that are from Philadelphia. We have a lot of entrepreneurs and business people and, you know, companies that reside in the neighborhoods of the school districts and, you know, in the school areas. And we really challenged him and us to come up with a collaborative plan to address the financial needs of those communities. Because in Philadelphia, we face a much different issue than they do in Lower Marion.
Mm-hmm.
There are we closed 24 schools in Philadelphia. This would be unheard of if you went to Lower Marion School District, because the residents, the neighborhoods, the businesses rallied together when they did have issues to ensure that those schools had what they needed in order to get that done. And, you know, not saying that Philadelphia should take the same approach, but why not? You know, why can't, if one of our schools in our neighborhood, which is in walking distance, if they're threatened to close down, why can't that neighborhood go to the local corner stores and the business people and the city councilmen and those individuals to find the funding to keep that particular school in their neighborhood open? And I think that we don't do enough of that as they do in other areas and other neighborhoods.
Right. I can concur with that statement right there. Still looking forward to having you, my listening audience, be a part of this discussion this morning. You can call before the show ends at 8, so reach out to us at 215-263-1039. Let's go to line 1 and speak with Michelle, who's calling in from New Jersey. Michelle, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so grateful to have just had the patience to hold on, but, you know, I just want to make a real quick comment. I am a product of the Philadelphia public school system, and most recently I was reading an article, because I'm a registered nurse and I work in the Department of Corrections.
Okay.
And but it's my belief that God sent me there, because I am a hospital-based nurse. But mm-hmm. I always believe that when you learn, you're supposed to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So this journey that I'm on, it's just part of an assignment from God. And the other day, I read this article. It says, who's going to teach the next generation?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow. You know, I, even myself, I thought about, wow, you know, what is going to be part of my next assignment? Because I never dreamed of teaching, actually standing up teaching children or being in a classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be a song. I can't remember the particular musician right now because I'm just so grateful to be on the phone. But
okay.
They said something about we must do something to save our children.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that, you know, resonate in me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had a son whom I lost, not to get into a long dissertation, but I did lose my son in the Iraqi war. But, however, I have peace, and I still feel like it's my responsibility to go back out and to, you know, serve my community. That is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to reach out and help those who are in need. So I say this in closing, and at the prison where I work, it's just like pulled at my heartstring. I'm saying, wow, so many young people, you know, I mean, that I'm saying, what went wrong? What went wrong? But when we as a community stop showing an interest in our children and our community, this is a part of what happens. And even piggybacking what the other young lady said prior to me, you know, it's a concerted effort. It's not a I thing. It's a we thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I could go on and on and on because I love talking about what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? I just thank God that I had a parent who, my mother worked, and I think today, wow, how did she do it?
Mm-hmm.
She had a plan, and she executed on her plan. And for that, that is why I am where I am today, and I'm the woman that I am today because of the foundation that was laid for me.
Amen.
But I want to thank you, and I want to say God bless you, and I'm just going to do my part. I'm going to do my part.
Awesome. We're definitely happy to hear that, and thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us this morning.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
All right. You do the same. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to line four and speak with Barbara, calling in from Alney. Barbara, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to your guests. The people that spoke earlier, they touched bases on some things that I wanted to bring to the forefront. I'm a business owner. I've been in business now for 14 years. I have a store in Alney. And I'm saying, you know, you see so much. You see the political side, you know, right now, Philadelphia is in poverty. We're the second city in poverty. And I'm, you know, sometimes I think, I say, does this have to do something to do with the struggle that we have trying to get money to do the things that we need to do? And then a lot of times you can put people in places that are not really capable of doing what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I want to touch bases is, you know, we as a people, we spend millions and millions of dollars each year. And we have to turn this cycle around where we have to start creating our own wealth. My slogan is, stop the violence, create the wealth. And I'm going to leave you with that because if we create our own wealth, we don't have to go to anyone or anywhere to get the funding that we need. We'll have our own funding.
All right, there you go.
All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Sarah calling in on line five from North Philadelphia. Sarah, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning to you and your guests this morning. First, I want to say thank the Lord for allowing us to wake up today.
Amen.
We got to praise him first.
Amen.
You know, being a mother and a grandmother, I was sitting here listening. My thoughts went back to a whole lot of things. I went to one meeting that they had concerning the school. I watched a lot of parents at that meeting cry that night. We was cut off on some question that we asked the school superintendent. And he was saying, like, sell some to school to bring money into. But I try to be an honest person and try to live the way I, you know, just being honest. But when you said about the stores and stuff in the neighborhood, they could find money to build a prison and stuff. and don't go to the neighborhood to ask for that. They could find money, and our kids need their education. Homeowners pay tax. The ones that don't have kids, we pay tax. You go, I walked the neighborhood the other day, was sad. I seen young men's laying out there, eating out the garbage can and no place to live. There's a whole lot going on in the city of Philadelphia that shouldn't be. And then people do try to help each other. You got people can't hardly eat. They sell their food stamps to pay their rent and stuff. And then when you go to the neighborhood stores, if you go there with $10, you ain't going to come out with two things. And they trying to survive. They saying they got to pay for their merchandise. And then they said, go out in the neighborhood and do this. No, this is why we let people in the office to do what they supposed to do. And so I'm going to be honest. And God forgive me for saying I'm going to be honest. Some of the elected officials, you call, you can't get them on the phone. Cut some of their pay. I'm being honest. Take some of their pay and do something because you can't get service like you used to do. And It's a shame that our kids got to suffer. These children need their education. And most of these schools is in black neighborhoods. If I'm wrong, y'all don't disagree with me, but this the way I feel. It's a shame that our kids have to suffer and to go out here and beg for our school. Shouldn't have to be all these casinos. All this tax money coming in, come on, somebody ain't adding. They added, but they added and ain't putting the money where it should be.
All
and
right.
I'm glad for your program this morning. Be blessed.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And thank you for the passion in what you're saying. I appreciate that this morning.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Right. Let's go to Janet calling in from Philadelphia. Janet, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for your patience. What's your comment?
My comment is I really want to piggyback on what one of the earlier callers said about the teachers being living in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I have for a long time said to my friends when we discussed this that I feel that the school system would probably take a dramatic turn for the better if all elected officials in the areas that they represent lived in those areas and sent their children to the public school systems.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would make a big difference.
Oh,
I believe that if you, like the earlier caller, if you live in that area, if you're vested in that area, your children, your grandchildren go to those schools, you would make sure that those schools had what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that it is politically based. And unfortunately, I believe that is also racially based. Mm-hmm. Even though they're public schools, the public schools out in the Northeast, They have books. They have books to give to children. They have books for them to keep in school, and the kids take a book home. Our Philadelphia school kids don't have books. I do also agree that parents in the community as a whole need to be more involved and that we expect too much of our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers cannot be the mother. The teachers cannot be the everything to the child. They can mentor. They can help. But you can't teach if you have behavioral problems all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I also agree with, I forgot the guest speaker's name.
Jamal, that
we want people who educate our children, not just teach to the test.
Right.
But my basic point is I honestly believe if elected people had to actually live in the areas that they represent,
and
not
the kids
on
to
the outskirts,
school.
Because I live right on the outskirts of Philadelphia.
Right.
If you represent North Philly, live in the heart of North Philadelphia so that you can see what your constituents actually deal with and go through.
All right.
You have better representation.
Thank you so much. I have to cut you right there, Janet, just because we're at the end of the program. But thank you for making your valid points, and thank you for listening to the program this morning.
Thank you. You guys have a blessed day.
All right. You do the same. Quick final thoughts, because we got to wrap this up, Jamal.
Well, you know, as a final thought, I really think that we need to look at education as a priority for our future and not just as an immediate, challenge for, you know, the politicians, the parents and the constituents, the businesses. It is a collaborative community, collective effort that needs to be put forth to make sure that we educate our children. And that's the bottom line. And whatever it takes to do that, I believe, is very paramount. And it's not the priority of everyone, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think town hall meetings are great. But if you're having a town hall meeting with no solutions and no resolutions, then it's just a meeting.
Yeah.
And if parents aren't going to reiterate what teachers and educators are doing during the day,
mm-hmm.
and be involved in that outside of being, you know, having to juggle so much socially,
mm-hmm.
you know, then we're going to fail. And these are the people that are going to be taking care of us when we age and get to, you know, our elder years. So we really need to look at it much differently. And I think you address multiple issues when you do that, because you address the crime, you address some of the truancy issues. There's mm-hmm. just a whole lot that goes into that.
Absolutely.
But I really think we need to make that a priority.
Very good. Thank you so much, Jamal. I know you're leaving our fair city. You will not be here anymore. You're off to an exciting new place.
Yes.
In another part of the country. So we wish you well in the big move.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to, I'm actually going out to Cincinnati to take a position with Catholic Health Partners to be their director of multicultural equity, and basically doing the same thing I was doing under the Rendell administration for Catholic Health Partners. And it's about quality of life. You know, I want to really look in the schools, you know, for my children. You know, that we won't have some of the similar issues that we're facing here in Philadelphia.
Right.
So we're really looking forward to the transition. But I'll be here and I'll be back and forth, you know, to check in on you. So whenever you need me, call me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jamal. We really appreciate it. And we would appreciate it even more if you would follow us on our Facebook page. Please look for Praise in the City on Facebook.com. Like us and keep up to date with different things going on in and around the community. Much love going out to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Don't touch that dial. Stay with us, because Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.